Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
You're listening to Hit Publish, where we use content marketing and copywriting techniques to get better results in your online business. I'm Amy Harrison. Today, we're talking about how to find your content strength with an array of content mediums to choose from, which ones will work best for you and your business. I'll be sharing my personal experience and helping you evaluate the main choices that are available to you to help you market your business and sell what you do. You'll also hear from Craig McBreen from McBreen Media. He's going to reveal how he used an often overlooked content medium of these days to create some serious profitable results. You're going to like this. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. So are you ready to find your unique content marketing strength? Let's hit publish. So where have I been and what have I been up to? Well, I've just finished filming a promotional video for the Call to Action conference happening in June this year in Vancouver. I'll be there asking whether your marketing copy is selling your business short, how to tell if it is, and more importantly, how to fix it. I'll put a link to the video in the show notes. If you are in the area and you're interested in digital marketing, it's well worth a look. Now, the comments bag is filling up nicely, and I was thrilled to see this one from our commenter of the week, Tammy. Tammy provides conflict resolution. You can find her at lenski.com. I loved Tammy's comment because after the show on creating a newsletter sign-up page that converts, she put some advice into play and exciting things happen. Here's what she had to say. Amy, another terrific, practical and fun show as always. You inspired me to get my butt into gear and redesign my main subscriber offer. I was so inspired, I actually designed 3 new offers, set up a split test. The results were astounding. I went from a conversion rate averaging about 1.7% to 3.8%, 5.42%, and 6.25% on the 3 revised offers. Yowza. Nothing changed but my language. Powerful stuff and a testament to your fine advice. Thank you. Well, thank you, Tammy. And this is the thing with copywriting. Strategic changes with your customer in mind do make a difference. Okay, so before we start thinking about where your content strength may lie, let's jump into the word of the week. You know the drill. In my aim to shine a light on some of the lesser used words in our wonderful language, I'm going to give you one word, 3 possible meanings, and reveal the truth at the end of the show. This week's word is premiate. Premiate. Does this mean the past tense for luxury eating? As in, we went to Kim and Kanye's for lunch the other day. Much better than our other friends. We didn't slum it with sandwiches. We premiate. 2, is it accusing someone of a crime prematurely? Or 3, to grant a prize or an award? Premiate. Stay tuned until the end of the show to find out. Okay, so what's the danger? Why is today's show important? What's at risk if you don't play to your strengths when creating content to market your business? Well, if you're not playing to your strengths, you're going to struggle to compete with someone who is. If you're okay at blogging, but it's more something that you have to do rather than something you want to do, you're not going to, as they say, bring your A game. However, a competitor somewhere will be playing to their strengths. And whilst you might see content creation as an item on your to-do list, this other person or team is going to be thinking about it all the time, creating, innovating, coming up with new ideas, and basically standing out. So I want you to start thinking about the content you're using today to market your business. If you're happy with the results you're getting, that's great. But if you've thought about trying something new, I'm going to go through 4 main types of content marketing mediums, looking at the pros and cons and asking the question, how long should you keep trying something if you're not seeing immediate results? So the 4 types of content I'm going to look at are webinars, podcasting, blogging, and video. I want to make it clear, each one of these mediums could be successful. There are many 6-figure video, webinar, blogging, podcasting courses out there. I don't want you to pick a medium because you think it'll be successful, because all of them can work. They're just vessels. The key thing is to choose an area where you are most likely to succeed that comes from playing to your strength. Something else I should say is that you do need to think about your audience. Now, these days you are fortunate in that more customers are accessing more different types of content to make purchasing decisions. So whereas once webinars were popular with a very specific type of target market, now they're working very well for more traditional businesses. But it may be that your customers really don't watch video or attend webinars, in which case you will need to factor this in as well as your content creation strengths. Okay, so first up, I want to look at webinars. As you know, webinars are like online seminars. People watch, listen through their computers or a mobile device. It usually includes watching some kind of presentation, which sounds pretty dull. But with great content and interaction, webinars can be a solid way to build your audience base. Let's look at some of the pros. First, you can engage directly with your audience. Now, most webinars are a live event. Then they're usually recorded and sent out to people who couldn't watch live. But this live element can be a powerful tool for engaging and interacting. So many webinar providers allow live chat. You can take polls. You can see the names of people on the line if you want to give a specific hello or a shout out. It can really make your audience feel close to you and your business. And if you're a service professional or if you're selling a service where people will be working one-to-one with you in some capacity, it's a great way to showcase your personality and have people feel comfortable interacting with you. In addition to that, well, you get to showcase your skills. So most webinars have some kind of teaching element, something of value. It's not just a sales pitch, although many do have sales pitches at the end. By showing that you know your stuff, you build the like, know, and trust factor because you're proving that you can do what you promise by giving people a little flavor of the results. The next pro is that people are now used to signing up for webinars. They're used to handing over an email address to attend. So if you run them regularly, they can be excellent list builders. And if you run them regularly, you're going to start building this great library of top quality teaching materials. Now, this might be something that you promote as a freebie to encourage people to sign up on your website, or you might decide to package them up and sell a bundle of them as an instructional course. Now, a few things to bear in mind. I don't really want to call them cons, but they may affect your decision as to whether webinars will be your content strength. Good webinars take a fair bit of prep work. You're going to have to plan your content, prep your slides, make the slides look good, prep notes for what you want to say. Now, that might be something that just comes naturally to you, or it may just be too time intensive to create alongside the workings of your business. They also need a good deal of promotion to make them worthwhile. And you want to be promoting your webinar ahead of the event because it's live. So why does this matter? Well, unlike a blog post, which you can spend time creating and then focus on the promotion, if you are promoting alongside also trying to create the materials for the webinar up front, it can definitely fill up your plate. The final thing I would mention is tech. Tech and I do not always do well, which is why even though I do use webinars, I run copywriting labs, they're no longer done live. They're pre-recorded and then released with a live chat element. I just couldn't find a platform that was reliable or easy to use. And of course, if something goes wrong, you're live while it's happening. Now, if you're a tech lover, this probably isn't a problem. I know many people who find the process effortless and create regular webinars with relative ease. Now, while teaching is a strength of my content creation, live tech is not my forte. And I recognize that this could end up detracting from the content and the points that I wanted to make. For me personally, it was just too much tech to handle whilst also trying to focus on giving great delivery of the content. Welcome to Late Night Amy TV. We have a fantastic array of guests tonight, including... I'm sorry, just hang on a moment. Hello, NASA? Oh, you need the satellite landing now? Sure, no problem. Okay. As I mentioned, we've got some top guests, including Harrison Ford, Taylor Swift, and... Oh, I've pushed something wrong because we've lost the lights in the studio. I must have hit the wrong switch. We can't hear you, speaker. Oh, now my microphone's not working. What did I do? Hang on. Wait. Oh, sorry. What was that? NASA? Oh, the satellite crashed. Sorry about that. How much was this one? 424 million. That's the pressure I felt when doing a webinar, like I was landing a satellite whilst doing a talk show. So how do you know if webinars will play to your strengths? Well, if you thrive on live, this is good for you. I knew one businesswoman who could only do live events because she got her energy from the crowd, so pre-recording anything felt painful. If that sounds like you, a webinar could be the perfect place to release your personality. Also, are you disciplined? Can you schedule what you need to get the prep work for the event done and the promotional work that's needed too? And finally, are you comfortable working out the technology, or do you have a good tech team behind you? Now, one thing I would say, I love doing webinars for other people because they tend to sort out the tech. I can just turn up and teach. So that might be something to think about. If you like the idea of webinars, it might be that you develop a really strong session and then take it on tour, performing it on other websites. Next up, we've got podcasting. Podcasting is definitely gathering steam at the moment, but should you be doing it? Well, let's look at the pros. Having your own podcast is definitely easier than it used to be. Technology you need to record and upload is more accessible, so it doesn't have to be an expensive form of content marketing. Now, the main pro that I find of podcasting is the intimacy between you and the listener. The podcasts I listen to, I feel like the presenters are my friends, and when you listen to this podcast, I hope you think of me in the same way. If someone tunes into your podcast, even though they may be driving or walking or even working, you've got this chance to actually get your content to them because a podcast is like listening to the radio. You can have it on in the background, and even if you're doing something else, it's still there talking to you. Now, compared to other mediums, if someone's reading your blog, they may get distracted and visit another site. If they're at a live webinar, they may get interrupted and have to leave their desk. But because a podcast is portable, it can penetrate through other distractions. It's also flexible. If you don't like the idea of you just talking, you can interview people. We heard from Steve Follen from the Being Freelance podcast, who's built a great audience simply by interviewing freelancers. And John Naster has done the same with Hack the Entrepreneur. Now, you can create content as long or as short as you like. So the shortest podcast I subscribe to is just 13 minutes, up to over an hour for some others, which means you can fit it into your time resource as well as your attention span. Now, why would it not play to your strengths? Well, personality-wise, speaking just may not be your thing. Although I would say, if the idea of hearing your own voice puts you off, don't let that stop you from trying. No one likes how they sound, but you do get used to it. The other thing is editing your work. Do you have the time and inclination to go through your recording and edit it so that it sounds up to scratch? Or do you have someone that can do it for you? I'm very fortunate to work with Toby, the editor from the Rainmaker platform, and his help is invaluable in making my vision for the show possible. Our third content method is blogging. Good old tried and tested blogging. The pros are plenty. There's a super low tech barrier. If you can write, post an image, you can blog, and then you've got the ability to reach people. They're very shareable. They're also very accessible. Some people don't like to watch videos, and the idea of downloading a podcast is just too much to ask. But clicking a link, having a quick read, it's a very easy task for someone to do. You have to kind of love to write, though, unless you are using some kind of voice transcription service. But even then, you have to have a respect and a bit of a love for the written format and for the narrative needed in a blog post. And writing is slower than thinking. Now, why might that matter? Well, for some people, the writing process or ordering their thoughts and mapping it all out can feel like trawling their ideas through glue. So it may just be that you're more comfortable talking out loud. Or you may find that if you're in a Q&A situation or a live situation, that's when you come up with your best ideas and advice for your audience, as opposed to sitting down with a blank page and trying to get it all down. And choosing a content channel isn't just a case of choosing something that works. It's a matter of choosing something that you will actually do. None of these channels will work if you're not happy to keep turning up and providing content for your audience. The final content medium is video. This is one that's dear to my heart because I have so much fun and I've had so many opportunities arise on the back of the AMI TV copywriting and content marketing series. The pros of video, well, because of the advance in technology, creating a video is relatively simple. You really could start out just pointing your phone and recording. There's plenty of resources for budget lighting and equipment. To get started, you really don't need a lot at all, although I would say that if it is something you're thinking of doing long-term, the more investment you have in equipment and technology is going to pay dividends. The other thing that I love about video is that it's probably where blogging was about 5 or 6 years ago. Yes, a lot of people are doing it, but for a lot of industries, it's still relatively new, which means you've got the opportunity to stand out while building a personal bond between prospects and your business. Now, if you're a creative person, video has a great ability to channel the inspiration. If you've never seen AMI TV, it's basically like a visual hit publish, copywriting, content marketing tips, interspersed with sketches to illustrate the points. Also, because it's relatively new, if you do have a video channel for your business, it's a great way to carve out your authority, like having a mini TV channel. The marks against video can come down to the tech if that puts you off, and if it puts you off the idea of, you know, creating ideas and getting up there and actually doing something, then that might hold you back. Although what I would say is give it a try. It doesn't have to be as scary as you think. And a lot of people that I meet say that they're quite intimidated by the camera and they're worried about not looking natural or acting themselves. Quite often, this is just something that you can get over with practice. But how do you know if something is a strength? Listening to these different mediums, you might be thinking, well, I know I can do this and I feel pretty good at this, but how do I know if I'm really creating the content I'm supposed to be creating? Well, I've tried a variety of methods over the last 8 years, and these are some of the indicators I've found that tell me when I'm working within my strengths or not. Number one, you get absorbed in it, so it almost doesn't feel like work. Now, that's not to say that content creation is necessarily easy. Even when I'm doing the stuff that I love, writing scripts, thinking of ideas, I can hit stumbling blocks, and I do have to work hard to get it written, recorded, and published. But when I'm there coming up with these ideas, I can be in front of my computer editing, writing for hours before I realize the time actually passing. And whilst I'm doing it, I don't feel like there's anything else I should be doing. The second criteria is that within the medium, the idea of improving and developing your skills feels like fun. So you know how some people decide they're going to play an instrument and the first question they ask is, how long is it going to take before I get good? These people are more likely to give it up somewhere along the lines because it's the person who falls in love with practicing is going to end up being a master of the instrument, not someone who's simply clocking off the hours. And that's a little bit like your content creation. If you're a blogger, do you keep up to speed with what other bloggers are doing? Do you notice new tips and technology and think about how you can apply those to yours? Which medium captures your curiosity the most? Which are you happy to be okay at to start with on the road to being great? Because that's the method where you're probably going to have the best chance of staying the course. The third and final indicator is how your content is received. If you've been doing something for years and still not seeing a lot of results, it's not a marketing strength. It might be a good hobby, but these mediums have to feed into your business. Now, Joe Polizzi, who I mentioned at the beginning of the year, mentioned that with content marketing, it can take on average 15 months to see solid results that really impact your business. That doesn't mean you have to wait 15 months in the dark to realize if you're on the right path. So here's a couple of tips to see if your content marketing is likely to work. First of all, you get good feedback. If you release your content and see comments or shares, even if it's just a handful, that is engagement you can work with. If people outside your friends and family are reacting positively to your content, it's a good sign. Next, you see even more feedback when you promote. So I've seen in the past people who think their content isn't working simply because they're not working hard to promote it. If this is you, I'll link to a previous show about content promotion in the show notes. If you find that when you give your content a little nudge and a bit of promotion, you get even more feedback, it suggests the problem isn't the content. You just need to invest more time rolling the snowball and getting more eyes on your work. Finally, you should be seeing some growth. You should be at least adding subscribers on a regular basis to either your newsletter or to your YouTube channel, because these are people who can become prospects and sales. So it's really important that you're building this. Ultimately, this show is about me wanting you to step into your content strength, because there may be a medium you haven't tried that could be perfect for you. Or it might be that you've tried something for a few months, you're about to give up, but you're actually closer to a breakthrough than you think. I want to give you some things to think about to make you more likely to find your content strength and become the content marketing rock star that you can be. Because think about it. What if other people had given up too soon or walked away from what they're really good at? Hello and welcome to The Talent Supply, the leading recruitment firm in the city. So what are you looking for?
Well, we're a startup, so we need employees for all sorts. First, we need a HR manager, someone good with people.
Okay, we have Miss Parton. She would be perfect for this. Dolly just has a way of making you feel like part of the family. Perfect HR manager.
Great. Next, we need a logistics manager, someone to handle all the lorries that are coming in and out of our warehouse.
I know just the guy. Here it is. Elvis Aaron Presley, an experienced truck driver
He was thinking about going into the music business, but thankfully he chose a more sensible line of career. I'll send you his resume. And we also need a project manager, someone good with details. Ah, you want Albie. You'll love him. Mr. Einstein has been on our books for a while. He's a tad eccentric, but he's great with getting his head around the big ideas. I'll send them all to you for interviews. Fantastic. And with that, I want to introduce you to this week's special guest. We have Craig McBreen from McBreen Media. Craig set up McBreen Media in 1995, provides brand strategy, content marketing, and design. He's also the host of the Art of Breaking Out podcast, interviewing top people in marketing, sales, and copywriting. Yes, I've been on his show. I asked him to share a story about a content medium that worked well for him, and his answer might just surprise you.
Amy, thanks for having me on the show. I love the show. I'm going to reveal a technique for obtaining ideal clients that is absolutely going to blow your mind. Buckle down, sit down. You ready for this? Print. Yes, print. Okay, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Here's the story. I have a branding firm. I work with professional services companies. I needed some new clients, so I hate buying lists. So here's what I did. I wrote down a little short, sweet customer profile. Who do I want to work with? Then I went onto LinkedIn. I did a little bit of research. I found these companies. I found the individuals at these companies that I should be speaking to, usually marketing directors. And then I developed copy, short, sweet, to the point, directed to them and their pain point. And I created a little mailer, a postcard that goes in an envelope. But the thing is, it was concise. It was directed to them and it had copy that spoke to them and told them exactly what I would do for them. The next step in the process, okay, call me Mr. Old School, but here you go. I picked up the phone. I already had the people's names. I already had these ideal clients. So I called them. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, I either got their voicemail or I actually spoke to the person. I didn't have to deal with a guard dog. And the best thing about it is most people, even those who didn't decide to hire me, were very receptive. They listened to my story because they saw the mailer. They went onto my website. They saw what I could do for them. A few of them are actually great prospects. But the ones that did hire me, there's some really, really great clients. In fact, one of my best clients ever is a result of this campaign, and they've hired my firm for a pretty significant amount of monthly retainer work. But here's the lesson. It's not really about the media that you use. I'm not saying you have to use print or you have to cold call, because depending on what you do, it might not make sense. It's really simple. It's about drilling down to those people that you know need your services. Speak directly to them and tell them exactly how you're going to fix their pain, how you're going to solve their problem. Everything you do is aligned with that message. Nothing magic about it. And if you do it right, it will work. But it's all about doing it right and then following through. However you follow through, just make sure everything is consistent. That's it. Here's an added benefit of this whole campaign. My company, McBreen Media, well, I work with professional services firms, but I also have my own site, craigmcbreen.com. This is more geared towards solopreneurs. Both sites are very closely aligned. There's a lot of overlap because I talk about the same things, just slightly different audiences. The added benefit was I found after I sent this mailer, some people signed up for my McBreen media list, also signed up for my Craig McBreen list. Not to say they're my ideal customer on that side, but who knows? It's just an added benefit. And as I say, people are naturally curious. So who knows what might develop if you create your own campaign. And it doesn't matter what type of platform you use, whether it's online, whether it's email, whether it's print, whatever. The media doesn't matter. It's all about finding the right people, having the right message, speaking directly to them, and then following through with consistent messaging, no matter what you use. Short, sweet, to the point, nothing magic about it. I hope this helps. That's a wrap for me.
So, print worked well for Craig, but as he mentioned, it wasn't so much the medium as the process. He outlined people he wanted to reach, thought about what to write to reach them, and followed up with them individually, and it paid off. Is this something you could try in your business? So my final thoughts and question to you, I want you to think about the content you use in your marketing. Does it already play to your strengths? If not, is there something else you can try? As always, I love to hear from you, so let me know in the comments anything you've tried that is working, or even something you tried that didn't work. Get it off your chest. Next week, we're going to look at how to dig down into what your customer really wants and how to put this into your copy, because I've seen a lot of copy that looks great, sounds very persuasive, but it misses the mark about what the customer is really interested in. And finally, the word of the week reveal. This week's word, premiate, does not mean the past tense of luxury eating. It does not mean accusing someone of a crime prematurely. It is to grant or award a prize. So there you go. Thank you for being a spicy hit published listener. If you found this useful today, I'd really love it if you popped over to iTunes, left a rating and a review. It takes just a few minutes. But if you do, next time you're having computer problems, there's a 76% chance you'll be able to fix it just by turning it on and off again. Phew. Don't forget, if you'd like to be featured on the show, simply leave a comment on the show page with your question or problem, or email me using hello@writewithinfluence.com. That's all for this week. So until next time, remember to take action and hit publish.